Okay, Reg, how you doing? I hope you're ready for this one, because this is going to be an interesting podcast, isn't it? Yeah, we just got the information about the musical beds at the beginning and the end, that we can't use that music necessarily. So, yeah, this is going to be strange. So I guess we'll just have to do it without the music for the time being until we can straighten this out. Okay? So you have, I'm making your job, well, I'm not making your job, but somebody's making your job easier. Now you only have one button to hit, which is the record button when we're ready to go, after I say 3, 2, 1. So now my thing is going to be difficult here, Reg. I don't know, because I, you know, when I do this intro now, I'm used to having that music behind me. I kind of play to it, and it kind of, you know, it gets me jacked up and excited, and I'm listening to the music, and I sort of weave the words around some of the musical breaks and stuff. So I'm going to have to. So how does it start? Hey, it's Elton John, Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And then what do I say? Then the music starts, and I go, welcome to another episode of Elton John's Captain Podtastic, every Monday, right? Okay, so that's how it goes. I've never done it without that music. It's so weird. It's going to be weird. This is going to be the stripped down version, right? No, this will be the unplugged version of the podcast. Put that one down the book here. 482, when you write down the books, put unplugged version. This could be either, we might do this forever. I don't know. Hopefully we can use music again. I don't know. But anyway, so you just have one button to hit. And with that other finger, with that other hand, cross your fingers that I get through the intro and the outro without the music. Okay, ready? If not, we can always start over. But I, you know me, I'm one take Toronto, so I want to make sure I nail that. All right, Reg, let's go. There's always something going. This is what makes life interesting, right? Just when you think you got a routine going, life says, don't get too used to that. U-turn. Okay, here we go. Today I need the three S's, Reggie. Star, smile, and especially this one, strong. Let's make it through this intro without any music. First time in 9.5 years. All right, here we go, Reg. It's going to sound weird. It's going to feel weird, but we're just going to plow through like nobody's problem, nobody's business. You ready? Here we go. One button for you to hit this time, not two. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton John, Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton John's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget, if you like what you hear, tell other people about it. Get out there. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton John's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. And as I said before, if you like what you hear, well, heck, you can always listen to these again and again and again. Go to WGNradio.com, hit the prompt for podcasts, and then hit the prompt for this specific podcast. And there you will find episodes dating back months, weeks, months, and even years. We've been doing this since 2016. They're all not there, but they go back pretty far. So it's always good to find out where we've been so you know where we're going. So just hit scroll down and load more, scroll down and load more. We've been scrolling down and loading more since May 2016. And this is episode number 482. All right, longtime listeners of the Elton John's Captain Podtastic, I've got a little quiz for you here. What was missing? Did you notice anything missing from the podcast? I sure did. Yeah. Hey, Jim, where was the music? Where was the music bed? Where was the music behind you? Where was the Bitches Back song we're so used to hearing to kick off that show and just ignite the energy for what's going to happen in the next hour or so? Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know where it is either. I think this is just probably influenced by the fact that the podcast world and the podcast industry now is becoming a major part of radio in general. And so while there has always been, you know, the music business has been completely overturned in the last 15, 20 years, if not longer, you know, by digital music. And once Napster started and iPhones and Spotify stores and Apple stores and then Spotify and all the streaming services like music, it's totally changed the entire music business. I mean, completely from the ground up. And there used to be, you know, a copyrighted kind of organization that collected royalties, and radio stations that played music for the most part, you know, just paid into this to cover all the music that they played, the various songs, and there was a, and that's the way, you know, songwriters were paid. Well, you know, once again, the, as I've said many times before, the internet and social media has become, you know, there's no rules. It's Dodge City. We've been playing catch up for 25 years in terms of regulations and rules. And music has been one area that has really been kind of devastated by that. If you talk to any songwriter, even any kind of recording artist, even the major ones, they talk about how the record world, the music world now is not where they generate income. They generate income on the road because music now has become so disposable that, you know, they used to get fairly good royalty checks. And now music is just spread and shared and used all over the place. And it's very hard to track down. And so it used to be a, it used to be somewhat of a finite world. Well, now it's an in terms of being music being used, it's an infinite world. And so I guess now that podcasting has been such a big, is growing into such a major part of the online or media platforms, I guess they're trying to cut down more on use of music, on copyrighted music. And so obviously the songs that I have used since this podcast started in May of 2016, fittingly, since, of course, the podcast is called Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, an Elton John reference. If you haven't known that, I've explained it a few times over the years. Elton John had an album, which I consider still his best album, song for song, called Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy. And so when I had a podcast, considering I was using the Elton Jim moniker, I used it as Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic to play with the podcast. And Captain Fantastic. So it would be Podtastic, making a whole new word and using the pod and the tastic together. So it's a reference to Elton. It's a reference to Elton Jim. And it's a reference to the podcasting world. So I thought it was kind of cool and kind of clever. I liked the way it sounded. And now it just rolls off my tongue. And so I used, obviously, a song at the beginning of the podcast, which is an instrumental loop of The Pitch Is Back. And that's the music that you hear. And once again, an Elton John song tied to the podcast. And even at the end, when I say, I hope you enjoyed episode number 482, that's an instrumental beginning of a song from the sequel to Captain Fantastic, which was called The Captain and the Kid. And that came out in 2006 by Elton John. And that little opening is from the song, The Captain and the Kid, the title song. So there's all these little connections there, these Elton connections, Captain Fantastic, Captain and the Kid, all that kind of tied into that. And I thought it was kind of a nice little, you know, nice little package there. Well, apparently, as I said, you know, there's some approved music and there's some isn't. I don't know if that music is on the list. I just received some information about this. So rather than ruffle any feathers, we have to go on. We have to move on to putting out a podcast a week. I mean, that's been my promise to you. And so without being able to settle this or find out what music might be available to use, I decided to, with Reggie, the producer here, to say, let's just do it without it. And it you know, so episode, so it's just for you close listeners too. If you might want to write this one down, because episode 482 could go down in history in Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic world. This either could be the first time that the podcast never had a musical bed at the beginning and end. It could be the only time, maybe by next week, we'll have some music, whether it's Elton John music or not. So it could have been the only episode that never had it. It could be the first one that ever happened. I don't know if this is going to be forever or not. I was joking with Reggie before the podcast started that this would be the Elton Jim's unplugged episode. Unplugged this time, no music, just voice. We're going unplugged. So you you longtime fans, you completists, you write that down in your little notebooks if you're keeping tabs. Episode 482 was either the first or the only episode that never had a musical opening and musical closing. You know, I do those intros live. Those are not recorded. Every episode, I've always done those live. And so, you know, I use that music as kind of a background to, you know. So it was very strange for me to do that. I hope I thought it sounded okay, but it definitely sounds different. So maybe we'll just have to get used to that. I don't know. Like I said, this is going to be an interesting episode. This is kind of like the unplugged episode or the naked episode. That one, I don't know. You know, I think of that because you may remember if you're a Beatles fan, you may remember back in the early 2000s, the Beatles released a version of their last released album, Let It Be, called Let It Be Naked. And basically, it was a stripped down version of the album. For the most part, what was eliminated were all the peripheral kind of sounds and instruments that producer Phil Spector had added on to the album later. Phil Spector was one of the most successful and popular producers of music, especially in the 60s and into the 70s. He created what is now known as, and which is a very distinct sound, called the Wall of Sound. And you hear the Phil Spector Wall of Sound with multiple instruments playing at one time, even two or three different drums and two or three different guitars and different pianos and different kinds of instruments, all, you know, mixed together, playing at the same time to create the so-called Wall of Sound, not just sparse little instrumentation here and there, but this literal wall of sound. And you hear it on songs like Be My Little Baby by the Ronettes and Da Do Ron Ron and so many of those kind of songs were written that were produced by Phil Spector in the 60s. You know, the Phil Spector Christmas album has that wall of sound on it. The Righteous Brothers, You've Lost That Loving Feeling, is also a Phil Spector production, and you can just hear that wall of sound there. In many ways, Pet Sounds, I talked about Pet Sounds many weeks ago when Brian Wilson passed away, totally influenced by Phil Spector's wall of sound. And so the Beatles initially had begun to use George Martin, but they decided they didn't want to use George Martin for the Let It Be album. They were going to do it themselves. And then John Lennon became enamored with Phil Spector and actually used him on many of his solo albums, as did George Harrison. Phil Spector produced perhaps George Harrison's greatest solo album, his first one, All Things Must Pass. Once again, Phil Spector production. The Imagine album, Phil Spector production. Many of them produced by Phil Spector. And so John brought the tapes of the Let It Be session, which were kind of stripped down and not a lot of production. I think that was kind of what the idea initially for the album was. In fact, if you remember the documentary a couple of years ago that was released of the Let It Be sessions, which was called Get Back, that was going to be the name of the album. And the whole idea, at least the way McCartney had envisioned it, was to get back to their original sound. You know, they wanted to do away with all the bigger orchestrations that they had done, like on Sgt. Pepper and things like that, and to get back and record the way they used to in the studio with each other and kind of have a much more grittier, natural kind of sound with just the four of them. But that didn't really work out. As the session went on, Billy Preston got involved and almost was considered the fifth Beatle. In fact, Billy Preston is credited on the single of Get Back with the Beatles. Pretty impressive credit. And then Paul, unbeknownst, I guess, to Paul, at least initially, John had given the tapes to Phil Spector to produce, because John wasn't happy with the way the sound was. And so, of course, Phil Spector went in and did what Phil Spector does and what you'd expect. And so on songs like The Long and Winding Road and Let It Be and other things, you know, those songs have great big orchestrations and big accompaniments and arrangements behind them. And Paul was never happy, even though they become classic hits. And The Long and Winding Road with that orchestra, bump, 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 bump. I mean, it's an iconic, recognizable part of the song, but that it's just, Paul just never liked it. Now, you have to understand, too, that this was during the time when the Beatles were on their way to breaking up, so there was a lot of animosity going on. So I don't know how much of that was he really didn't like it because it didn't sound right, or he really didn't like it because John had asked Phil Spector to do it without his permission or things like that. You never know. But anyway, it must have stuck in Paul's craw, because like 20, you know, more than 30 years later, he finally, with the permission of the four, the other three surviving Beatles, they released a new version of Let It Be called Let It Be Naked, where they took out a lot of the Phil Spector production elements and just had the songs live in a more simple, sparse, stripped-down version. And Paul said that's the way the album was always supposed to be heard. Whether it was better or not, that's still up for debate. Most people still listen to, still play, and still like the original versions that Phil Spector did add things to. But Paul, the musician, Paul, the songwriter, and maybe Paul, the disgruntled Beatle at the time, never really liked it, apparently. So that's this. So this episode, it's a long story, a little history lesson there for Beatles fans. But long story short, if there's such a thing, so this episode could either be for episode 482 could either be known as Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the unplugged version, or Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic Naked. I don't know. We'll see. Because I hopefully will have music back. I would prefer to have music, but I don't know. We'll see. There has to be some approved music. So that's a little behind the scenes stuff, but you know, I'm always honest with you. And that was, if you've been listening to for any period of time, you know, you had to have said, well, whoa, what happened to the music? No, don't adjust your dials. It wasn't there. And there's the reason why. But that's just the very beginning of the show, and most of it does not have music. It just has me talking, and so here we are. So, you know, you can get by without that. Anyway, that was not that's not the main thrust of the podcast today. Although just as a little footnote as well, I should mention to you that even though the Let It Be album, this is, once again, I might as well finish the trivia. The Let It Be album was the last Beatles album released, but not the last Beatles album recorded. What do you mean, Jim? Yeah. So after the Beatles released or recorded Let It Be, and you've seen some of the little strained relationships going on, even in that documentary, the band was not happy with, you know, that that whole session. And so Paul, who was always the guy that was kind of pushing the Beatles forward, suggested that, clearly this seems to be moving toward an end, but I'd hate to leave on that note, even though they ironically did. But so they recorded soon after the Get Back sessions and the Let It Be album, the sessions that became the Let It Be album. They went back into the studio after that in 1969 and recorded Abbey Road. At the beginning of, the beginning and the middle of 69, and then released Abbey Road in the latter part of 69. And then in April or May of 70, even though it was recorded before Abbey Road, Let It Be wound up the official last album of the Beatles because it was the last one released. So there's a nice little trivia question. Abbey Road recorded after the Let It Be album. However, the Let It Be album released after Abbey Road. So last recorded album by the Beatles, Abbey Road. Last released album by the Beatles, Let It Be. So there you go. There's your little trivia. But that's not what we're talking about here today. For something completely different. So, if you've been watching, whether in your own personal life or certainly in the entertainment world, no question, over the last year or so, if not more, but certainly the last year, year and a half, 2 years maybe, clearly, if you've noticed, some of your favorite celebrities look like somebody has just taken a pin and deflated them, right? I mean, you've been seeing some tremendous weight loss, and maybe you've even seen some people in your personal life. Maybe you. I don't know. Obviously, the GLP-1 injection, which started out as being known, under the brand name initially, was, I think, one of the first ones was Ozempic. And now, of course, there's several. This was first being treated for people with type 2 diabetes to keep their numbers down. But it turned out that they were finding that a side effect, and a positive one in many cases, was that people were losing great amounts of weight when they would be on this injection. It was somehow rewiring people's minds to and curbing their appetites. And now there have been, drugs and pills and diet pills and things like this all the time about curbing your appetite, but it sounds like those were all snake oil salesman kinds of things. This inadvertently apparently does that. And so obviously, the greatest, especially in the United States, one of the biggest health concerns in this country is obesity and being overweight, and the causes that it has on your heart and your blood pressure and strokes and cancer and you name it. Being overweight just has a negative implication for your health, and so ever since we stopped becoming, hunters and gatherers, especially since we started having a sedentary kind of lifestyle over the last, 500 years or so, if not more, we've been gaining weight. And so it's been a major goal in the medical world to find this magic pill of something that would help people lose weight. And there's been so many different types of things that have been used over the years and different diets and things like that. And obviously, at the end of the day, it's less calories in, more calories burned, weight loss. It's just curbing that appetite to take in those added calories. Not easy. I know that for myself. I've yo-yoed through my entire life, and You know, I've been on diets on and off, and you know, I was, as a young kid, I was an athlete, so I was always in good shape, and then you get a little older, and suddenly your metabolism slows down, and you don't realize, you realize, oh, I got to keep working out here, and then you got to boop, 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 and you just keep going back and forth. At least I, you know, and I'm not happy about that, believe me. And it's been a lifelong battle, no question. But I will say, I have not taken any of these weight loss injections, and I'm not, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, I hopefully there's not any serious ramifications side effect wise. It's so relatively new, and people are using it, so we don't really know yet what the long term implications of this might be. But certainly, in the short term, you can see that that people, like I said, maybe yourself or people in your personal life that you may know, but certainly if you look around on television or in some of the magazines or online, you'll see that obviously these weight loss injections are sweeping through Hollywood and the entertainment world, which is obviously based on looks and vanity. And so we're seeing suddenly many people that we have known to have had issues with weight and have yo-yoed as well. And suddenly, not only do they lose weight, but they lose, in some cases, hundreds of pounds. They're back to their high school weight when they're 65 or 70 years old, which is unheard of in most cases for people, especially people that had a weight problem. And not only do they lose, but it happens very quickly because I guess apparently you're not hungry. Once again, the fewer calories you eat, you will lose weight. And this sounds like you really don't want to eat anything. So over the last year or so, or 2 years, you know, you've seen people like Kelly Clarkson and Oprah Winfrey. My gosh, you know, Oprah's battle with weight has been going on for 40 years. And, you know, she even bought Weight Watchers several years ago. Remember that? Her famous thing back in the 80s, early 90s, when she lost like 75 pounds and she brought it out on she brought out 75 pounds on a wagon to show what it looks like and things like that. Well, now Oprah is, you know, boom, she's thin. Have you seen John Goodman lately? Wow. I mean, John Goodman always been a really big guy. And now he looks, like I said, he looks like someone put a pin in him. You know, the rapper Jelly Roll apparently has lost 200 pounds. I mean, it's just wild. So it's been an amazing, in terms of weight loss. I mean, it started as this diabetes drug. And in fact, when it started to show the weight loss implications, sadly, people with diabetes, which is a very serious disease, they were even having trouble getting it because doctors were prescribing it so much for overweight people that the people that really needed it in terms of life and death, in terms of their diabetes, couldn't get it. You know, so, but now it sounds like there's more than enough when now it's been realized. So, you know, who knows, as I said, the long-term effects of this. But wow, you cannot deny the implications. As I said, I think it's just it's been an amazing thing to watch and see this. Now, what's interesting, and there's many of these, Ozempic was the first one that was used. It was, you remember they did a really good job. They use that great song by Pilot from the 70s called Magic. Oh ho ho, it's magic. Oh oh oh, Ozempic. and that was the first one. So now that's Ozempic has kind of become the catch-all for the GLP one shots, for these weight loss shots. Everybody just calls it Ozempic, like we call tissue paper Kleenex, like we call those waxy color things crayons. Yeah, that's the ultimate from a branding perspective. If your product can be known, its brand name is the name known for the actual type of product it is, my gosh. I mean, when you hear someone say, oh, I'd like some McNuggets. Well, if you're at Burger King, you say McNuggets, that's not right. But, you know, they were the first, one of the first ones out there. And so a lot of people think of those chicken nuggets as McNuggets, even though if they're not at McDonald's, they're not McNuggets. Same thing here. So, you know, there's, you know, oh, are you on Ozempic? And someone will say no. Well, you know what? They might be telling you the truth because they're on Wegovy, or they're on Zepbound, or they're on Mounjaro, or some of these other ones. No, I'm not on Ozempic. Well, yeah, but you're on an Ozempic-like drug, aren't you? And that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about today. That's the real thrust of what I wanted to talk about today, is why it seems the people, I mean, a lot of people are on this. You're, as I said, in your personal life, as well as if you look into the entertainment world, you'll see that people are losing this amazing amount of, drastic amount of weight in a short period of time. And for some reason, though, and I'm going to do what I just talked about. For some reason, while they might be on several different kinds, I mean, they might be not just on Ozempic, they might be on Wegovy or Zepbound or Mounjaro or some of these other ones. But I'm wondering why to use Ozempic as the name for these weight loss injection drugs, why has there been so much shame about using them, or so much, I don't know if it's shame or the people just don't want to admit it. I call it Ozempic shame. Are they, or Ozempic embarrassment? I'm not sure why. I mean, forever, people have gone on diets. You know, there was the Atkins diet, low carb. There's the Mediterranean. There's the keto. I mean, there's been millions of different diets. There was the Nutrisystem with the drink back in the 90s and 2000, like the shake. I mean, there's been a million things. And as I said, overweight, especially here in the United States, is a major problem. What I find interesting, though, is why initially, and once again, you know, people have gone on diets, and you've seen your friends or yourself or other people in the public eye, you know, they've gone through and they've, hey, you look great. You're on a diet. I'm working out. I'm eating right. Bah, 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 bah. Or I don't eat carbs. I'm on low carb, or I'm on keto, or, you know, they've been very, most of the time, people have been very upfront about their weight loss journey. Everybody's on a journey now, whatever they do. But in the weight loss thing in the past, you always said, oh yeah, you know, I'm doing Atkins. Oh, I'm on the keto diet. I'm on the Mediterranean diet. You know, I'm on Nutrisystem, whatever. People weren't ashamed to say it. They were actually, it was like, hey, I'm trying to better myself here. You know, I'm trying to lose some weight and get healthier, you know, so it was kind of an affirmative, positive thing, which makes sense. And that's part of the psychological part of any kind of diet or any kind of journey that you're on, is you need to have a very positive attitude and moving forward with it and embracing it and not being embarrassed by it, but putting it out there to say, yeah, I'm doing this now. Okay. Good luck. Good for you. But for some reason, taking this weight loss injection has not been as, at least in some people's minds, as acceptable to others. They've been somewhat embarrassed by it. They don't want to admit they've taken it. They don't. I'm not sure why. Because it's obviously having great results. And yet, even while they were losing weight on it, they would deny it. And as I said, I don't know if you had anybody in your family, or perhaps yourself, and maybe, I don't know, maybe you can add some some light to this. If you are on it, I'd love to hear if you want to, you know, make some comments on my Facebook page about this. You know, what was your reaction and your experience in using it? As I said, I've never used it, so I don't know. I don't know if I would keep it hidden, though. But in the case of Oprah and Kelly Clarkson and others that have had, and there's many others that have used this, that have had this extreme weight loss, initially they did not admit it. Oprah said, oh, well, I started walking and I did this, and it's like, and then, you know, and it was like, well, you've lost, you know, 50 pounds in 2 months. I mean, what are you talking about? And Kelly Clarkson said the same thing. Oh, I've been working out. And then she finally, and so then what's funny is while they're initially using it and they're losing weight, and then it becomes obvious and people in their lives or, you know, in the public eye, will notice that people are losing weight, and people will say, "Oh, wow, you've lost weight." And so, yeah, I'm watching what I eat. Well, I guess you are. It's just that you're watching what you eat because you've taken an injection that is physiologically telling you that you're not hungry and you don't want to eat anything. So I guess you're not lying. I guess they're not lying. But the fact of the matter is, without that injection, this drastic weight loss wouldn't happen. And I'm just wondering why people just don't say, "Oh yeah, no, I'm on Ozempic, or I'm using Wegovy or Zepbound or Mounjaro." I mean, if it was easy to say in the past, "Oh yeah, I'm on Nutrisystem. Oh yeah, I'm doing the Atkins diet, low carb. Oh yeah, I'm on the Mediterranean diet." If it was so easy and it was empowering and it was helpful to you mentally to embrace that publicly, and then you were losing weight, I wonder why the use of these drugs, and maybe it's changing now because so many people are using them, but I just read something about Jelly Roll, as I said, the rapper Jelly Roll. And apparently he's lost 200 pounds. But in this story about his weight loss, it never says that he's taking, like, how he lost it, or it doesn't, it now that's conspicuously missing. So now it's like we're not even going to say. I don't understand where the hesitancy to admit that you're using this drug or this shame that you feel. Until then, but then what's funny is then when they're done, when people are done, they've lost all this weight, they say, "Well, yeah, I've been on Ozempic." Well, then why didn't you tell me that 4 months ago? I mean, don't forget, people used to have this, and still do, have the different kind of gastric bypass surgeries. And once again, the weight loss is very quick and it's dramatic. You know, in many cases, they're taking out parts of your stomach or your intestine, or they're actually shrinking your stomach and things like that. But they're, you know, so the weight loss, you know, and then you know you go in for that surgery, it's going to take a while for you to recover, and then you're going to eat smaller portions and things like that. But the weight loss initially is obviously very dramatic, because once again, fewer calories in, fewer pounds gained. But even that didn't seem to have a shame factor to it. But for some reason, the Ozempic, the weight loss injection, during the process, then when you're done, apparently there's a point then that you, I don't know if it feels like they're used to it and people feel like, okay, I'm going to stay this weight. Well, then it's okay to say it. I mean, Rosie O'Donnell's the same way. There's many other people. I'm not just going to name a few, but, you know, have dramatic weight losses. And now I've seen, like, but Rosie said, "Oh, yeah, no, I've been on Mounjaro or, you know, Wegovy or one of these." But that was after, not during. Before, when someone would notice you've lost a few pounds, "Oh, have you been working out?" "Yeah, I've been watching what I've eaten. I'm on this specific diet." There was no shame to that. But this, it seems like during it, it's like I don't consider it cheating. I mean, you know, people take pills for their blood pressure. Is that cheating? I mean, you want to stay alive. You know, I say good for you. If you're able to take this, so without any doing other damage, or don't have any other pre-existing conditions that it might harm. I mean, why not? You're going to make yourself healthier. You know, if you can lose 50, 60, 70, 100, 200 pounds, I mean, that's definitely going to have a positive, reaction to your health in some way. I don't understand why there's a shame to this. I mean, I'm looking now, once again, I don't know, because he's not saying anything, but for people that live in the Chicago area and Illinois, look at Governor Pritzker. Governor Pritzker has been a real big guy. He was like John Goodman big. If you notice him now, his suits look like they're hanging on him a little more. He's not busting out of them. Somebody wants to run for president, I think, in 2028. And so I think somebody said, well, if I'm going to run for president, I can't really be this really big guy because, politics is, especially in today's world, very visual. And so I think, I don't know. Once again, I don't see why it's a secret. I don't know why it should be. I don't know why I should guess. I don't know why I have to guess. I'm looking at Governor Pritzker over the last several months, and I'm seeing a guy over the last several years who was always really big, and all of a sudden, every time you see him, he looks a little smaller, and he's got one less chin, and his suits look big on him. And so I'm just assuming that something's going on here. I don't think he's going out to the gym 15 hours a day. He's got a very busy job. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere down the line, after he loses a ton of weight, and maybe, he gets back into a size 32 pants, then he's going to say, well, yes, I have been on a weight loss injection for the last, year or so, and I had some health issues, and it was always, but while it's happening, it's like this little unsaid secret. Even though we could see the weight happening, we see the weight coming off, and it's coming off very quickly. And we know people who have admitted to taking it, how quickly it comes off. And so I'm just not sure why there's this shame. But it certainly seems to be something that people that use it seem to be a little hesitant to initially explain or admit that they're taking it. When in the past, when you were on a diet, whether it was a high profile diet, just say, yeah, you know what, I'm, or, you know, now people, you know, people always make a point, you know, I'm vegetarian, I'm pescatarian, whatever. So why is this? And the irony is that this weight loss alternative works. I mean, as I said before, someone who's yo-yoed their life in terms of their weight, here's something that's working. Yeah, hey, you've been on this diet, that diet, it works for a while, and then you unfortunately go back to some of your old habits. But here's something that seems to work for people that are using it on a regular basis. Where's the shame? This is the one that worked. Oprah has made a career out of weight loss, cauliflower pizza. Like I said, she bought Weight Watchers. She bought the company because of the fact that she's known as someone who has weight problems. So, hey, let's join in our journeys. That was the whole deal. Now Weight Watchers, in addition to their program, they have a weight loss injection as part of their program. If it's a weight loss remedy that seems to be working for people, we've seen over the last two or three years, why is there shame involved? Why is there hesitancy to admit it? I just don't understand that. It seems to be working for people. You can't deny. I mean, when you see the person you've seen that's been on it, you can't. I mean, some people you don't even recognize. So, I mean, obviously, there's been a change. And it's for the better. The person is looks different. They feel better. You see they're dressing differently. They're wearing clothes they never wore. I mean, you know, I think the rapper singer Lizzo, you know, I mean, what I find interesting is a lot of these people for years, especially over the last 5 or 10, when body shaming became an issue, a lot of celebrities were saying, coming out and saying, yeah, I'm big and I'm proud. You know, there was Rebel Wilson and Lizzo and some of these other women that were embracing their bigness and saying, don't body shame me. I'm happy like this. But wait a minute. Rebel Wilson lost over 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 pounds. Suddenly she was wearing bikinis. Lizzo, same thing. It's like, wait a minute. At first you were embracing it and you were saying that your weight was empowering. But now that there's this drug that's going to help you lose 100 pounds, now suddenly, you know, what's her name was the same way. Adele was the same way, embracing it. Kate Winslet made a big deal to say, hey, look, I don't have this skinny body. I'm a waitress that has some, I'm an actress that has some curves. That's who I am. Have you seen her lately? She's like a stick. So I think there's also some hypocrisy going on here. And I don't know if that's what they're worried about. Some people that don't want to admit, I don't know what the motivating factor is to not admit it. It's obvious to the naked eye. Not only is the weight loss obvious, but the speed in which the weight loss has happened, which is just completely indicative of taking this. So there's people whispering about it anyway. As I said, Kelly Clarkson was on television. You could see her shrinking by the day. And she denied it for many months. And then finally, oh, well, yeah, I've been on it. Oprah was the same way. So I'm not sure where that's coming from. Believe me, I understand weight loss and weight is a very touchy subject with people. I get it. But what I don't understand is when you lose weight, and as somebody who has, as I said, yo-yoed, and I at times I've lost, a lot of weight where it's been very obvious, like, wow, but I've been upfront about it. Yeah, like I said, I haven't taken this Ozempic. Mine was more about, eating and working out and things like that. What they always say is the old standbys. But this seems to work. I don't think it's cheating. I don't think you need to be embarrassed by it. It's having a positive effect. It's got on your health, on your self-esteem. As I said before, we take medication for a variety of ailments. I think overeating is an ailment. It's not a bad habit. I think there is something, about metabolism and appetite that either we inherit genetically or at the very least we learn as a young child, It's a disease. It's like anything else. If you're taking blood pressure pills or blood thinners or any kind of medications, you're doing that to alleviate or lessen a potentially serious problem. I don't see anybody not admitting or that they're being embarrassed that they take blood pressure pills. I mean, it's not like you walk around and you have big signs or you're bragging, say, how you doing today, Jim? Oh, well, I'm taking 17 different medications. It's not like you tell the world everything you take, but I don't think that if somebody mentions, oh, you know, I'm on some blood pressure pills, I don't think you should be embarrassed. Say, oh, yeah, so am I. I mean, you're taking a positive step. I don't think that's cheating. I mean, that's why we have. I mean, yes, I mean, there's some people look at it holistically and say, oh, you know, you shouldn't take, Western medicine drugs. Okay, that's fine if you don't want to do that. But my point is you're taking something else. You're saying, okay, I'm going to take some, sassafras root because it lowers, or you're saying on TV, I'm going to eat beets. It lowers your blood pressure. Okay, so if you're taking some beet powder and putting it in water and drinking it every day, you're trying to take something to lower or to help your health. So whether it's a supplement, whether it's a holistic thing, or whether it's a prescription, you're still trying to correct some health problem for you to be healthier, to elongate your life, right? So if you're doing that, if it's okay to take a blood pressure pill, if it's okay to take a scoop of powdered beets to lower your blood pressure, then why isn't it okay in some people's mind to take a shot to curb your appetite, for you to lose weight, to put less stress on your heart, to lower your blood pressure, to lower your diabetes? I mean, I don't understand. But then at the same time, after the weight loss is complete, then it seems to be okay. Like I said, once again, the human animal, we make no sense. We make no sense. There's no sense. What we consider normal or what we consider rational, it's irrational. Everything we do is irrational. We rationalize whatever we do. But when you look at it from a logical standpoint, it makes no sense. I've just been so interested by this because, as I said, weight loss and obesity is a major problem that this country faces and individuals face. And if there's this magic bullet that finally, as medicine continues to advance, then why not? Now, another kind of interesting hypocrisy that goes on. Once again, like I said, people, we make no sense. We rationalize, but our rationalizations make no sense. So what I find interesting is, so here is a drug that was initially developed for lowering, I believe, type 2 diabetes, and blood sugar. And it had this side effect of weight loss. Now, that happens many times. Many times a drug or a treatment is aimed at a specific disease or a specific ailment. And while it doesn't do what it was meant to do for that ailment, it winds up having another use for something else. While it didn't do a good job on this, at the same time, it did this other thing, and wow. And that happens many times with different drugs or treatments. And that's what happened with Ozempic. Eventually, it was supposed to be about a diabetes drug. But it turned out that whatever the concoction was, it never was put together before, but whatever the concoction was, it works for weight loss. It does something to shut off your appetite. So we still don't know the ramifications of this. Yes, it was FDA approved and things like that, but it was a relatively new drug and it wasn't used for weight loss. But what I find interesting is, this is an injection, right? It's an injection, putting something foreign into your body. And we don't know, we're going to know in about 4 or 5 years, the real, the studies and the data will start to come. But right now, people are seeing, hey, you know what? It's a weight loss. People are losing weight and I want to lose weight. And doctors are saying, hey, it looks like this is the real thing. Okay. and we'll see. Well, okay, if you have certain, other ailments, maybe this is something that you can't use, and we'll find out that more. But what I find interesting, a lot of people, the same people that had no problems, when they saw that this made you lose weight fast and drastically and 50 to 60 and 70 and 100 pounds, give me that shot. Black market version, whatever it is, give it to me. I want to lose weight. I don't know. I don't care about long term. I want to lose some weight here. I've been on diets my whole life, and I want to lose 100 pounds like John Goodman, or 200 pounds, whatever, Boom, just give me that shot. Just give me that shot. But a lot of those same people had all these medical backgrounds on why the COVID shot they would not take. That one they didn't want. I'm not taking anything that the medical community comes up with. I don't trust them. They're tracking us. There was all these rumors and all this stuff about the COVID vaccine. Then all of a sudden, everybody was a medical expert. But man, when there was an injection and a vaccine or injection to lose weight, who cares? I don't care. I don't care how they made it, who they make it, where they get it from. Give me that shot. I want to lose weight. There's something about, I want to get back into those 32-inch pants. Okay? So, but before it was, I'm not taking that COVID shot. Once again, we rationalize, they didn't want to take the shot. Oh, it wasn't. And I understand some of the misgivings about it. But at the same time, they weren't going to give this vaccine to people if it was going to kill them. Okay, there was enough testing done before it was actually. There was a lot of pre-testing done leading up to this. But this Ozempic thing, wow, as soon as it was deemed the weight loss drug, suddenly, no such thing as an anti-vaxxer on that. Give me that shot. I'll give it to myself. Not only did they not have to go and get, it hurts. They're sitting there giving it to themselves. So once again, we rationalize. I don't trust the government on COVID. I don't trust the medical society. I don't trust the medical complex on this COVID vaccine. But wait, what'd you say? I can give myself a shot and lose 60 pounds in 3 weeks? Give me that shot. Yeah, there might be some side effects, schmied effects. Give me that shot. I want to buy a new pair of jeans. And yet, there's this hesitancy while you're using it to admit it. I don't get it. I just don't get it. And I think as this becomes more prevalent, and it's becoming more prevalent by the week, I think, as I said, you're seeing people in everyday life, obviously celebrities, in the people in the public eye, politicians, singers, actors, you name it. You're seeing a lot of people who 6 months ago were much heavier are suddenly much thinner. And they're not telling you, they're just being very vague about it. And then after they've lost the weight for a while, I've been on Ozempic. And then it's like kind of like, I didn't want to tell anybody. Why? I don't get it. So for whatever reason, we'll see. But as it stands right now, there's still this kind of no comment on taking one of these weight loss injection drugs. To me, it seems like you're doing that to make a positive impact on your health and on your positive attitude. If it works for you, then why not? But I don't know why you'd need to be secret about it. You're telling me you're a vegetarian. Why can't you tell me you're an Ozempian? And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 482 our unplugged episode. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of my mind to your ears. Sounds weird without the music, doesn't it?